relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I received an email yesterday in my inbox that, as the Hungarian phrase goes, one of my eyes was smiling, one of my eyes was sad, was crying. It was from K. Coles James, the incredible president of the Heritage Foundation, a personal friend who is announcing that she's stepping down after 3.5 years at the helm of the most influential conservative think tank in the world. It's time, she says, to spend time with her grandchildren. She only came in for 3 years. She's given us 3.5. We will be paying tribute to the great K. Coles James later here on the show. But now we must spend time with our regular guest, one of your top favorites, Lord Conrad Black, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Conrad, we have so much to discuss. We have to talk about the true crisis on the border. But you have a piece in American Greatness about H.R. 1, which we will break down momentarily, but you use a phrase just a couple of sentences in, the quote-unquote white supremacist attack, quote-unquote, on Capitol Hill on January the 6th. That narrative hasn't died down. We've seen two shootings in just the last few days, one in Atlanta that was by a person who we know was sex addicted, who was a man who frequented those massage parlors, which is hard to do if you're a racist, being blamed on white supremacy, whilst today the president has said we can find no motive for the Muslim who killed 10 people in Colorado. It seems as if they are so desperate to maintain this narrative, they will do so at any cost. Is that your perception?
I'm afraid it is. And it's just completely irresponsible. I mean, I absolutely cannot imagine what would possess anyone in an important public office in the United States to imagine that this kind of false focusing on race hatred is acceptable or satisfactory or achieves anything that is even excusable, let alone useful. I mean, the fact is, we don't know. I mean, you put out the facts best to know. And this suspect in the Atlanta case, it was a frequent customer of these
establishments,
Asiatic sex parlors. That doesn't make him a white racist, for heaven's sake.
Right.
And I mean, where on earth is the impetus coming from after all that has happened, after all the progress the United States has made in the last 60 years since the Lyndon Johnson Civil Rights Act and so on, and that era of terrible riots and so forth, and the assassination of Dr. King, and after all the progress where every high office in the country has been occupied by African Americans, including president and now the vice president, trying to impress and rivet upon the back of America this false charge that it's a systemically racist country. I mean, President elect Biden, as he then was, saying on January 6th and thereafter that the attack on the Capitol was quite racist and it was botched by racist white Capitol police. He hasn't recanted any of that.
No.
There's no evidence for that. It was a complete fiction. It's completely irresponsible. And what is the point of it?
Do you think this in part contributes to what you note in your piece that we're posting right now on our Twitter and Facebook pages, that the Capitol Hill, so the political epicenter, enjoys the 80% of Americans approve of the conduct of Congress? These phenomena can't be unconnected.
I'm sure they are closely connected. And I'm furthermore sure, I mean, sure is maybe putting it too strongly, but I'm reasonably confident that the great majority of Americans, if they had any idea of what was in House of Representatives Bill 1, would not approve it. And the responsibility will be a heavy one on the American media if they try to facilitate the Democrats' adoption of this full-scale frontal assault on Democratic government. Small D Democratic government.
But isn't, I mean, there's the rub, surely, that we have this inordinate disapproval rating for Congress writ large, either party, 80% plus.
Yes.
But how many of those people, Lord Black, are cognizant of the content of H.R. 1 and what it represents?
Well, that ties into a companion opinion sounding, which shows that approximately an equal number, over 80% of the country, does not believe the national political media.
Right.
They're right in both cases. The performance of Congress has been a disgrace, and the performance of the media has been a disgrace. The people are right. But unfortunately, the danger here is, and you hardly, or your listeners hardly need me to explain it, is that while they are right to hold those institutions in contempt, they remain institutions vested with the powers that they have. The Congress can write the laws and send them on to the president to be signed, and the media can whitewash what goes on. And I've been following American affairs closely since the middle Eisenhower years, and I have never seen anything remotely as dangerous or worrisome as this.
And should it go through, if maybe only in part, if only 60-70% of this atrocious abortion of a bill goes through, is that where conservatives who believe in a republic of states are challenged to their core and say, well, if the left wants to normalize ballot harvesting and drop boxes and the non-collecting of matching of signatures on ballots with voter rolls, then the best we can do is to play that game as well? Is that what we will have to resort to?
I'm afraid so. I mean, that's what will happen. I mean, historically, for obvious reasons, because of the way the Democratic coalition has been constructed of different voting blocks, going back to Roosevelt's time, that kind of activity has been more in their area than the Republicans. It's been traditionally the Democrats, it's changing a bit now, but governed the big cities, and they ran these city political machines that produced extraordinary numbers of votes when needed, most famously perhaps in 1960 when Mayor Daley in Chicago managed to deliver the state of Illinois to Kennedy by a few thousand votes, and officially we're still looking for some of the ballot boxes. But what will happen is you'll get both sides doing the same thing, and these elections will just become 25-day-long ballot-stuffing contests, and they'll become more and more farcical. And the situation's aggravated by the abdication of the Supreme Court in the last election. Now, I have to say, politically, it may have been the right decision, because if they had intervened on the Texas case and effectively overturned the election, Trump would have won the election. I think he won the election. He would have won with 5 million fewer votes than Biden. I mean, there have been six previous elections where the winning candidate got fewer votes than his chief opponent, but not by that kind of a margin. And the uproar would have been considerable, and the pressure to try and pack the Supreme Court would have been high, although if Trump were the president, it wouldn't succeed. Now, this is all surmise on my part, but I assume that the collective opinion of the court was they were better to duck the issue and assure the recession of the sentiment to add new justices and make it a partisan court. And that may have been the right political decision, but those who are interested in American political science should be in no doubt that that's what happened. The Supreme Court ducked the greatest responsibility it has, which has to be the determination of the integrity of the presidential election. And there can't be higher responsibility.
And should the bill go through and conservatives lower themselves to those tactics that will be enshrined in that federalization of politics, of elections, then have we not acquiesced to the concept that the ends justify the means, Lord Black?
I'm afraid so. And it becomes a bare-knuckles ballot-stuffing contest of the kind that you have in more primitive political societies. I don't want to be too pessimistic here. I think there would be a reaction against that, and I think there would eventually be a general recognition that they simply have to roll that back and try and retrieve a society of laws, at least in regard to election and elections and the counting of ballots in elections. But it's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And it's shocking how suddenly this complex of issues has come down on the country, and it is a testimony to how shattered the collective psychology of the political establishment was by the election of Donald Trump.
We have to read the whole article. H.R. 1 is emblematic of the crisis of American democracy. He is the author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump. We will be back with Lord Black after these messages.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
You can't say it, not on this show. Welcome back, dear friends. Cancel culture? Is it real? The left wants to deny its existence. We'll ask our good friend Mike Lindell, the inventor of the MyPillow, of which he sold 51 million already. 25 corporations are boycotting his MyPillow product because he's a truth teller and because he's a conservative. Send a message to the fascistic cancel culture left. Go straight to his website. Him and Mike will give you more than 60% off his more than 100 products, superlative products. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with the author of numerous fabulous works, especially of presidential history, the most recent being A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Follow him at Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, let me just read to you a couple of things regarding the situation on the border. According to unnamed U.S. Customs and Border Protection sources who spoke to Fox News, since the change of regime in the White House, the cartels trafficking migrants across the southern border are earning more than $14 million per day as a result of the smuggling. The Biden administration has committed $86 million to house illegal immigrants in hotels, and none of them are being tested in any mandatory fashion for the coronavirus, which has led to Rasmussen reporting that 57% of non-GOP, non-Democrat respondents in their recent survey said President Biden himself is the cause of the border crisis. Can they go on maintaining that it isn't a crisis and closing their eyes to the reality on the southern border?
No. They have this reservoir of credence with the docile media who went absolutely all in to elect the Democrats. They simply took the oath, turned off any sense of professionalism any distinction between reporting and comment, and did the necessary to elect the Democrats. And so that state of affairs will continue, I guess, for a while. But eventually the media get tired of being used, and they will not tolerate.
And when we see the photographs of people in these cramped conditions, they don't call them cages now, they're pods with their emergency blankets. At what point will the people who elected a Democrat president say, well, this doesn't exactly look like the humanitarian thing to do? Can you posit, can you hypothesize that there will be a moment when they say this isn't the bill of goods we were sold?
I can, except that I think that the powers that be in the administration will recognize the danger they're in and do a course correction before it's too late, because they have this docile media which is prepared to cover their tracks on a retreat. So I assume what they will do is change policy, announce that they've done exactly what they promised, but brought a humanitarian remedy to the inhuman, xenophobic, and racist conduct of the former administration, and then allow them to execute a retreat and not humble them as they do it. But if the Democrats, if the administration don't move reasonably soon, they are going to run out of time, and public opinion will get away from the media.
And with regard to what we discussed in the last segment, Lord Black, the ends justifies the means philosophy that seems to be driving so much of Democrat policy and politics of late, can they make that volte-face? Can they make that 180-degree turn if the real reason for all of this is to lock in a new constituency of amnesty to illegal immigrants?
That will require, that's a very interesting question, and I got this, you know, to take an old expression, the $64 question. that requires normally a very smooth, clever political operative. That requires a Franklin D. Roosevelt or someone like that.
But we don't have evidence of that.
Yeah, no, we don't have any of that now. So I would guess that they're not going to succeed in it. But yes, I think what they'll try to do is they will realize that they really are cornered here, and they've got to essentially shut the border back down again, but say they have had it open for the decent interval. They've done what they said. They've shown their humanity and their decency and their love of these people. Everything will be administered on a basis of perfect equity and justice. But in fact, they're shutting down the border. And then at the same time, they'll try to take a bow for a new era of comparative welcome to these people. But it must be remembered, Sebastian, from all polling that we see, the majority of Latin American Americans don't really approve of these illegal entries.
No, absolutely. And given that we're just 2 days away from the president's first press conference, more than 2 months into his presidency, will there be, do you expect, an intimation of that reversal, or will it be more platitudes and empty non-policy statements on day 65?
Well, I'm afraid it'll be very soft, pointed questions. Please, Mr. President, tell us why you've been so successful. You know, the kind of questions that Bob Maxwell put to Ceausescu just before he was, put to death before a firing squad that had more volunteers for it than any firing squad in world history.
Christmas 1989.
People volunteered to shoot him. Yeah, well, that kind of thing. But it's conceivable to me that the president will announce it won't be called a course correction. It'll be called the completion of what we promised, the absolute accomplishment of what we set out to do, and therefore we change appropriately and sensibly as we had always intended to do. That is the way to do it, and the press will still cover for him because they're still in his corner. But if he goes on abusing them like this, I mean, putting on a gong show in administration and pretending that what's happening isn't happening, and trying to flim-flam the media. Eventually, as you know, the media, they frankly, many of them are whores, but even whores don't like being treated with contempt.
We will see. 2 days to go. Remarkably, both the president and the vice president have said they have no intention of going to the border anytime soon, despite the crisis rising to a level that is simply undeniable. Read Lord Black's latest piece at amgreatness.com. You can find it on our Twitter feed, on our Facebook page. Follow him directly at Conrad M. Black. And if you haven't done so already, from a man who's done business with Donald Trump, order his book, A President Like No Other. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Stay on this channel. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
America is under siege on all fronts. Big tech, the liberal media, radical professors, Antifa, and censorship wherever you look. But what we're seeing now, I didn't expect to happen overnight. The left started its takeover of our colleges and our culture, in truth, over a century ago. Now it's time to fight back for the future of America. Scott Walker is a man who knows how to fight and win. He proved that as governor of Wisconsin, no matter what the left threw at him. He stood firm and won the day. And as the new president of Young America's Foundation, Governor Walker is launching his plan. It's called The Long Game, a bold strategy for winning the battle and the war. The Long Game invests in young people for generations to come. It's about enacting a plan that will outlast all of us. And it might be the only way our country survives. Governor Walker's new playbook, The Long Game, provides the tools needed to defend freedom today and for generations to come so that our children, too, may live as free people. Go now to yaf.org/longgame. That's yaf.org/longgame to get your free copy of The Bold Plan to Save America. That's yaf.org/longgame. Okay, let's go to your calls, waiting very, very patiently. Let's go to Dave in Arizona, line 3. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you again for letting me contribute, Dr. Gorka.
Sure.
I love being behind the firewall. That's the best part of calling in.
You mean listening in the breaks?
Sir, yes, sir.
Why does everybody love that? It's like, I don't know, yeah, the inside scoop, right?
I can watch the sausage made, as disgusting as it may be.
Oh, you think our sausage is disgusting? Or, no, the making of it. The making of it is disgusting, right, Dave?
It's an analogy, sir. You understand
I
that.
I do. I use it frequently, seeing the inside of the sausage factory.
Yes. So I wanted to offer the first segment with Dr. Chang.
Yes.
I would call the ABCs of Biden's foreign policy: always be capitulating.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Always be capitulate, unless you're facing down American patriots, and then you never capitulate, right? If you love America, then they'll fight you to the bitter end.
Well, that's why the first tagline on my Twitter account I joined in May was America First, and I called 1,000 years ago, it seems, and said our platform should be keep America first instead of make America great again.
So tell me, why did you join in May, David? I'm curious. I presume you're, you know, of a certain age. You could have joined long ago. What made you join in May?
The Lord spoke to me on May 1st, and I joined on May 2nd. He said, you need to get out there and make a difference to save the country. Now, I thought it was
Did he have a British accent, and did he broadcast 3 to 6 every day? Is that who spoke to you?
It may have been that, sir. Yeah. I left my job in April, doing a sizable riff at my company. So I had been starting to be politically active in February, maybe a little bit actually last September when the impeachment stuff started. But I really kicked it into high gear in May. And within about 3 months, I had 7,000 followers on Twitter, which I thought was actually low. But it was high enough that they started the shadow banning, and then they deplatformed me completely before the election.
Ooh, what did you do? What did you do, Dave?
They said, should we ask Governor Kemp of Georgia to apologize? And I just went to Wiki, and I snipped the word treason, and I said, I think he's working against his own government. Maybe we should hang him.
That'll do. That'll get it. That'll get you censored. That'll get you deplatformed. Absolutely, Dave. And look, I just realized how bad it is. I'm back up to 1 million followers, and my average tweet, unless I engineer it so that it hits a certain nerve, 300 likes with 1 million followers. Jack, really? You're that unsubtle. God bless you, Dave. Be more like Dave. Get engaged. Let the muse grab you. Get on social media. The president's platform is going to take a little bit longer to launch. I can't wait when he says, come over here, leave Twitter, leave Facebook, and join us. But in the meantime, you have to be on the battlefield to win the culture war, and that includes social media. Take a leaf out of his book, but don't say things like hang people. It's not a smart thing to do on social media because you will get cancelled. Use your nous, be subtle, and don't give them an excuse because they're out to get you. This is America First. More of your calls on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. You can also text me. It's our Patreon mobile text line that I answer all the texts, 703-869-1262. The text line, 703-869-1262. And if you're calling us, please make sure it's on a Patriot mobile line. Why? Because they're rated number one in customer service in America. And also, they're on your side. They're conservatives. Unlike the big boys who at the end of the month when you pay your bill make donations to gun control organizations, Democrat campaigns, and even Planned Parenthood, they share your values. They donate and support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and the right to life. Join them today. You can keep your old number. Their U.S.-based team are experts and can transfer it for you. Call 972-PATRIOT or go for big discounts to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. That number again, 972-PATRIOT, 972-728-7468. Extra special discounts for veterans and first responders. Do it today. Join the good guys. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. Next, New York's finest, District 1, Congressman Lee Zeldin.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Young America's Foundation.
And also the great people at Food for the Poor. Thank you for all your donations, feeding the hungry in our hemisphere so they don't get exploited by those caravans, so they don't get handed by their parents to the coyotes. Please, please help this amazing Christian organization feeding a million mouths every day in more than a dozen countries. Your donation in any amount makes a difference, but $37 once will feed a hungry child for 6 months. It is the Lord's work. Be a modern guardian angel. Be a modern missionary from the comfort of your home. Call 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Or just go to our website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Food for the Poor banner right at the top and make a donation today. Just a few days left. Please make a difference. Save a life today. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. We welcome now a good guest, a loyal friend of America First. He is a veteran, a military expert on matters to do with intelligence. He's the representative for the First District of New York, Congressman Lee Zeldin. Welcome back to America First.
Always great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm going to shock you, and I'm going to play a video cut from the fake news industrial complex. Martha Raddatz, ABC, cut 15. Play cuts.
Would you have tried to do this when Donald Trump was president?
Definitely not. Definitely. We had the chance, you know, the same violence that's going on today was there last year. We used to watch the news, and I definitely won't do this.
So did you come here because Joe Biden was elected president?
Basically. The main thing was the violence in my country. And the second thing, I think, was Joe Biden. It's like letting up my hope.
So what is it? Rush called it an act of random drive-by journalism. Congressman Zeldin, I thought we were told that Donald Trump broke the border and it's only been fixed now. But that's an illegal immigrant. That's an illegal alien saying he's here because Biden's in the White House. How does that work?
Right. Saying out loud what we all know is happening. And while the Biden administration might want to set a very different narrative than reality, it's not going to work. The pictures, the video, as you just played from the audio from one of the people trying to come here, we all understand that between the statements and the policies, it is night and day just over the last couple of months, from ending construction of the border wall and stopping deportations and fully supporting funding for sanctuary cities and releasing people into the asylum seekers into the United States.
Oh, he's crossed.
Legitimacy and merit. That list goes on. I mean, trying to get a path to citizenship for over 11 million people. And the statements made it clear during the campaign with the policies in the first day and first few weeks that if you try to come here, that there is a soft, open border catch and release waiting for you on the other side.
Will there be any level of crisis, as somebody who's right there in the pit fighting the good fight on Capitol Hill, is there any point that the crisis can grow to where they say, oops, we made a mistake and we're going to have to close down the border? Or is this just totally ideological now?
Well, first off, it's continuing to go in the wrong direction. I mean, they wouldn't even allow media to go to visit these locations because they didn't want pictures. And it was a Democratic member of Congress from Texas who posted a bunch of photos in recent days where the dam has broken, and even the mainstream media is starting to acknowledge that there is a crisis there. Now, where would the effort from the left rise up from? Probably these Texas representatives. You have multiple Texas reps because their districts are being impacted on what is a national security crisis, a rule of law crisis, a health public health crisis. And hopefully, if they scream loud enough, some of these members have been around a long time. Sheila Jackson Lee, I mean, she's no moderate. And they're starting to acknowledge that there is this issue in their own districts. And hopefully that will start growing the ranks. But before we start talking about how things are going to get reversed, it would be nice if it just stopped continuing to get worse for a day and they just tried to hold the line where we're at. But they're not even doing that. It's going to be worse tomorrow than it was today.
Yeah, every day is going to be worse, and the president doesn't seem interested in visiting the border. We're talking to Congressman Lee Zeldin. Follow him, Rep. Lee Zeldin, zeldin.house.gov, representing New York's 1st Congressional District. Have to ask you about the governor. You just crossed the Tappan Zee Bridge, which Governor Cuomo has just rededicated in the name of his father. To me, it's always going to be the Tappan Zee. Let's play a cut from the man who is increasingly being known as Randy Andy. Video cut 9. Play cuts.
We need you at the ship. You gotta stay here. I'm staying. You gotta get it. And we still looking for our 11 o'clock report.
All right, I'm not going anywhere, darling.
All right, I'm not going anywhere, darling. Is there nothing that can stop this man? Not the 7 or 8 accusers of sexual assault, sexually inappropriate behavior, nor the 14,000 who died as a result of his policy decisions. Do we have to have him there forever?
No, we definitely don't. And if the state legislature, which is a supermajority Democratic legislature in the Assembly and Senate, if they don't do their part, Andrew Cuomo has made it clear he's not going anywhere unless prosecutors, and there's multiple investigations going on at different levels of government. If they don't take action, Governor Cuomo's made it clear he's not going anywhere. Ultimately, this might come down to the voters of New York, November 2022, deciding what fate we want. Those allegations that have made that were made against him are very serious. But what we cannot, and you referenced it, what we cannot overstate is the loss of life and then the cover-up, the decision point. Does Governor Cuomo last spring admit he made a mistake, be very transparent about it, apologize, or does he go with a different play call of cover it up and bully anyone who tries to bring any light to what's going on? He made the wrong decision. He's being investigated for it. He's got to go. Well, you know, from the bullying, the harassment, the abuse, the intimidation, the cover-ups, this is not a leader. This is a guy who this third term was too much. Now he wants a fourth term. Any New Yorkers, when they go to the ballot in November 2022, if his name is still there, if you're still seeing Andrew Cuomo, we got to do our part and make sure that he disappears from elected office.
I know how to do that. I think somebody called Lee Zeldin should run. That's my recommendation. In the meantime, keep doing what you do. God bless Lieutenant Colonel Lee Zeldin. Follow him at Rep. Lee Zeldin, zeldin.house.gov. Be frosty out there. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that is 100% drug-free and works, which has kept me pain-free for more than 2 years now, along with tens of thousands of my fellow Americans. Find out for yourself today. See the amazing video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com and then order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. You can call them on 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your grateful fellow Americans. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. ReliefFactor.com.
Vote Democrat. Don't base your bloody daft, man. I'd rather be dragged stark naked through a field of broken glass.
Preferable, indeed. Need to go to your calls. That's great. How is it the end of the second hour? It's not fair. Can't we just stretch time and space? Let's go to calls. Let's go to Kathy, waiting patiently, Westchester, New York, line 2.
How are you? I was just calling because I've got a new thing. I'm going to start a bumper sticker business. Sadly, our country is now being run by the Three Stooges. We've got the liar Mayorka, the laugher Harris, and just lost Biden.
That's a long bumper sticker.
It'll fit. It'll get the news out.
It'll have to go along the side of the vehicle, not the bumper of the vehicle. So you're a big fan of DHS Secretary Mayorkas?
Yeah. Like I said, liar, laugher, and lost. That's who it is.
Yep. I like it. Liar, Lost, yeah, and laugher or cackler. Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to John, South Carolina, line three.
Dr. G, the first thing we need as conservatives to learn is the Vulcan nerve pinch.
Is it real?
Yeah, yeah. Well, have you never had anybody walk up behind you and pinch you in that spot?
I have, but I don't collapse. I do something else.
Basically, you just have to twitch the fingers just a little bit, and it depends on how you turn the thumb and the
You'll
index
have to teach
finger.
Me. You'll have to
but,
teach
but
me.
That's what we should have been learning at CPAC, you know, and there should have been a consortium on it and a seminar, and we, you know, basically, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to walk up behind Chuck Schumer and just give him a good night's sleep? You know, just let him sleep for, what, 2 days? How long are you out once you get pinched by the Vulcan nerve?
Oh, at least 24 hours.
I mean, this would be almost as good as my pillow.
If you're a Klingon, I think it's 3 days, and he might have some Klingon blood in him. I look at Chucky, and I think it might be Klingon.
Well, possibly. Looks more Romulan to me with that nose, but... And he's such a sleazoid. I mean, there's no question
about
it.
If he's a Klingon, then Nancy's a Ferengi, that's for sure.
No, these are the old-style Klingons before the, I forgot what the terminology was for the transformation in...
Next Generation, right.
Yeah, listen, what I'm calling in about, this is the first part of my run here.
You got 60 seconds, dude.
Okay,
you got
well, that's an eternity in some places. Dr. G, we don't need to rebuild the right. We need to rally the right. We need to ignite the right.
I like that.
We need to, basically, we weren't destroyed. We were schnockered. We were schnookered. I mean, we were just simply, just.
No, hang on. This is massively important. I got to respond. I love this. Ignite the right.
Or unite the right.
Yeah, yeah. No. If we've got 12 million more votes than last time, we don't need to rebuild it. We've got it. There's one thing we do have to do, John, and I hope you agree with me. We got to deal with the rhinos and the establishment GOP. Can you agree with me?
Absolutely. Would never argue with you on that point.
Good. I love it. I'm going to quote you. It's time to ignite the right. Of course, he's John. He's got it. Stay on this channel.